Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fatina Kirkendall and it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here tonight. And I just thank you for those who are tuning in and those who are my faithful listeners. I thank you because without you, there is no show. Without your participation and your input, there is no show. You know, I do not start my show without prayer, and I'm going to go into this immediately. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first thing, Lord, I would like for you to do is to decrease me. Well, let me go back even further. I ask that you forgive me of any of my sins, and not just me, those who will be joining me on the call tonight. Forgive us of any sins we may have done, thought, word, and deed. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, we just invite, decrease us so your Holy Spirit may be dwelling in us. Anything that we do, anything we say, is a reflection of you, Lord, and remind us that we are here to serve a purpose, which is to serve you. I thank you for all the listeners that are listening and all the ones that are on the way to do so. And I thank you for those who this message is designed to reach tonight, Lord. I thank you for who you are, who you've been, and who you're going to be. I thank you for the families and friends of those who want to be on the call and also those who are listening and will be listening later. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. We just ask you, Lord, to decrease us, and I particularly mean me right now because I'm in need of it, and increase you as we move forward, Lord, on this particular topic as it is definitely necessary. Why are we looking for love in all the wrong places? So I thank you as again for my panel that who has graciously been patient with me. They have now joined me, and I will be bringing them on very quickly so we can get into details of the matter. But to recap, last weekend, if you were with us, we talked about looking for love in all the wrong places. And I had Karen or Denise on the line with me, and I also had Ms. Roxanne. And we were just talking about different ways and different avenues of where we were finding love and what we were looking for. Denise, in her instance, she was looking for love. And that, the commonality was we're trying to fill a void for something. And Denise, I'll let her describe hers again, and I'm going to let Roxanne describe hers. And then we had a very, like, last-minute portion that just exploded the entire conversation, which led to why we're here tonight by our caller that will be that's already on the panel. His name is Jay, and he just gave it to us in a very male perspective. It was just very so explosive that people still texting and calling me after the show was on and up until today in regards to his perspective. And I've gotten an interesting text from that, and I'm looking forward to sharing that later. So as we move forward with this show, I'm going to bring them on individually, and then collectively we're going to have a conversation. And as we move forward, you know, we're all here given a perspective. And let me give my disclaimer. None of us are professionals. We're all just giving a testimony to our lives. You cannot have a testimony without going through a test in your life. And that's what we're here. That's what this show is about. It's about real people, real life, real scenarios, because someone else may be going through what we've gone through. And we're just here to let people know that you're not alone and you can overcome. You can be an overcomer, just like the tag says, from victim to victor. Everything is a choice. Some things are not a choice, but when you do know, like in my instance, being a survivor of molestation, childhood sexual molestation, no, I didn't have a choice at that time, but now I do. I could have wallowed in that situation, or I could have stayed in that situation and just become a victim, continue to stay a victim of it. But I chose not to, and I chose to, like, in my case, I serve God, just like I've mentioned before. And I've allowed him to come in into my life, and I've allowed healing, and a part of that is forgiveness. And this, so now I'm now that victor, and I'm still working towards that victor. So I'm just grateful and feel very blessed and fortunate to have people here. And I see you on the line. I will be reaching out to you to find out if you want to share and partake in this. So if you get a text from me, it will come from 678-887-9441. And for those who want to chime in or want to come back later, we do have this on demand. And also you can email me at C as in Charlie, OAF woman at gmail.com. Once again, that's COAF woman at gmail.com. Now, let's move forward with this as to it went from looking for love in all the wrong places to tonight. Tonight of why are we looking for love in all the wrong places? And I'm actually going to go with Ms. Roxanne, who gave me a very good, interesting point of view as to what she was looking for. So I'm actually going to bring her, as I'm bringing her on board, I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say about this topic. So Ms. Roxanne, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, how are you doing? And thank you for, yes, I can. Thank you for chiming in to Chronicle, and thank you for returning to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And I was just giving a recap of what happened last weekend. And I just want to I want you to recap, first of all, what you were explaining as far as your reason for looking for love in all the wrong places. I really want you to start off with the first, what stemmed it first.
I do not remember everything I said last weekend because I talk a lot.
It was something, let me recap, really, a general recap. So you started off with, it was a statement a lady mentioned that she was not trying to be a hater of Miss Serena Williams, but she rather be in a toxic relationship with a
black
American,
right?
Mm-hmm, yes. Than to be a sellout and marry a white man.
I think I was probably touching on like just the fact of the toxicity that some of us view that, I don't want to say it's normal, but that's how I'm going to say it. Like, it's normal to be in a relationship with someone that you, that's toxic, whether it's verbally, physical, mentally. In one of my cases, it was mental and like, sometimes verbal abuse, but I just kind of felt like, as a black woman, it seemed like I'm supposed to be the ride or die chick to whoever I'm dating. And I say this all the time because, you know, I have a sense of humor, but I used to say, you know, I get being the ride or die, but why I gotta die? Like, dying shouldn't be a part of that. Like, if we're in a relationship, like, you know, let me drive sometimes, you drive sometimes, but just the whole idea of saying, oh, she's my ride or die. And in my case, like, I have my own things, and I had these people that had nothing except for, let's say, sex. But that blinded me because I'm like, oh, this person loves me. They're saying all these things to me, but they're not backing up their words with action. But to me, I'm listening to this. And I'm like, well, he loves me. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I was trying to be everything to these men. Like, I wanted to be their hero. I wanted to save them. Like, I don't know why I just kept seeing this thing where I'm going to be the woman, you know, that brings him up out of this dark place that he's in. It was just strange. Like, I didn't really understand it. And now that I'm at a place where, you know, years have gone by, but just looking back at myself and like you were saying, a lot of people don't understand that things that we go through as children affect us as adults, whether it's good or bad. But in the case of like me, being molested when I was younger, never having it addressed, never really wasn't believed. Like, there was just so many things that contributed to my false image of myself and just love and what love is and how it should look or how it should be and, you know, that type of thing. But once you've gotten to a place in your life of healing, you begin to see that the way that you saw yourself is not who you are. You do deserve to be in a loving, caring relationship where all that stuff is reciprocated, not, well, I love him and I cook for him all the time and, you know, when he's having a bad day, I'll run him a hot bath and doing all these things for a man that's not even your husband. You know what I mean? Like, that's all your right. boyfriend, not your husband. And I think for me, I just was trying too hard to show that I'm a good woman. I can be a good wife. And these dudes
yeah, like
are
almost
doing
like a savior.
Yeah, you
yeah,
know.
Like a savior. So thank you. I appreciate that. Because, yes, because you touched on exactly what I was trying to get at when you indicated that scenario with Serena Williams. And then you definitely hit that point of, you know, wanting to save, you know, wanting to, you know, be that person to save them. And I told you, my cousin and I had that, you know, if you busted discussing this stuff, come on, we'll take you, because we felt like it was our job and our responsibility to take it. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to be bringing you back in a second, okay? So give me 1 second. I'm going to go on to the Miss Denise, and we are going to have we're going to have everybody join in just a second. So as I was saying earlier, before I get Miss Denise on the line, you know, as Roxanne was saying earlier about trying to be that savior for someone, because we have that misconform idea, because when your boundaries are crossed, you know, you don't know the definition of what love is, or you don't know sometimes what's norm or what's not norm. So our norm becomes a little different, and some people may see it as, well, why is she doing that? And we're looking at you like, why are you not doing this? So it's different. But I have Miss Denise on the line, and I want her to kind of recap what her, you know, why she was searching for love and why she was searching for that love. So, Miss Denise, thank you for coming on board. Welcome to Chronicles.
Okay. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I think what we started. What we started out with is talking about the fatherly love in a different perspective
mm-hmm.
of, you know, looking for love from that father, especially those who father is not in the home. And you might have one that was in the home but didn't show you that love, because when I thought about it last week, it's like, you know what, our father, the love from our father is what would be the first love to determine what we search for
mm-hmm.
and what we look for.
Mm-hmm.
So without having that, it was not that the love wasn't, as I was indicating, it's not like the love wasn't there. It's just that it didn't appear, it didn't show, it wasn't shown to me where I know that that's what it was. So it was the embracing,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes we look for that embrace. And when you don't get that embrace,
mm-hmm.
you look at it like, oh, he doesn't love me like he should. So now I'll go out there and find some, you know, gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for him to embrace. And the minute he tells me that I'm beautiful, you know, cute, I can take care of you. So now I'm looking like, okay, this is something that I've been missing. But all along, it was, the love was always there. It's just that I looked at it in a, I had a different perspective of what love should have been on the father side,
mm-hmm.
on the, you know, the aspect of, from my father. So then you end up with someone that you don't like your dad, or you want someone just like your dad, but then you end up with somebody who doesn't even, has not even measure up, because
mm-hmm.
their love was just words. My father showed action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I got the, at a young age, I got the two confused.
And it's almost like, I don't know for you, but for me, you know, I mentioned that as well. We did talk about that, you know, when we have this, we set this standard. And if they go outside that standard, then, hey, we're ready to cut you off because you didn't meet that standard that we were looking for. And it's almost like that false perception that we build ourselves around. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to go move forward to Mr. J, because what he said on Sunday really would stem this conversation tonight. And I'm just so grateful that he's agreed to come back on board. And then I'm going to get all of us on board and then chime in some others who are interested in taking a part of this. So thank you so much. Give me a second, hon. So as I was saying earlier, you know, with Roxanne giving her perspective as far as being the savior that she was trying to do, and then also with Denise coming in looking for that fatherly love, you know, I can definitely speak on both of them because my father was not there. I came from a divorced family, and it wasn't that he didn't want to be there, but mine is complicated because I came from a divorced family, and sometimes the father can't be there as much as he would like to be there. Like I said, it's complicated. But I did have my grandfather at that particular time, so I pretty much had to make do. And he was old school, so he didn't give me that embrace and that love or whatever. But he always provided for me. And throughout this conversation, towards the end of the conversation, we had a caller. His name is Jay. And he gave a very great, I mean, just a phenomenal breakdown of the family and just how, as just women, how we become frustrated and how this cycle of life becomes because of the, it's like it's distorted. So I have him on the line. So, Jay, I thank you for joining and welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Thank you for coming in again. I'm so excited. I've been like excited since the moment we spoke last weekend. So are you there?
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight?
We are awesome. How are you?
Man, I'm living.
Well, that's all we do day by day.
Right.
Day by day. Right. So I just wanted to first, I want you to kind of recap what you started last Sunday as far as when you came in and we were talking about looking for love in all the wrong places, and you heard some of the perspective from us, some of the other ladies and myself. And if you could just recap what you said before, and then we'll start from there. And then eventually I'm going to bring everybody on board, and then we're going to open the lines up for everyone else who wants to chime in.
Right. I'll try my best to remember what I exactly said, but most of the time it's pretty much the same thing, is that it all starts in the family, though, right? So, you know, either you're raised by a single mother or you're raised by your father or you have both parents in the home. But the thing that people don't realize is, because it's an ugly truth to realize, is that, excuse me, if you was raised by a single mother, that and she, you know, you automatically, you don't realize it as a child, but you end up having this resentment for her because your father wasn't around. And, you know, she always tries to tell you these certain things about your father, why he don't come around. So, therefore, you resent her for these things. And you start to resent your father as well, though, because he wasn't there to protect you from your mother's nature when you was growing up, boys and girls, both of them. So what happens is, but if you have a household with two parents in them, but the father was weak to the mother, and therefore the mother kind of ran the relationship, that it's the same effect, because then you don't see a strong father, male role model in the house. You don't see a man take charge of the home. You don't see a man being the head of his wife, the head of his family that you know, is logical and makes decisions through the love that God gave us, through the order that he gave us. So those are the two scenarios. And if you're raised by a single father that might be weak, you know, he might be out there doing God knows what. He's not a real man, but you're raised with him for whatever reason. And so that affects you as well, the same way that the mother does, because nobody's showing you this real man leader figure in your life. And by nature, what I was saying was is that women are emotional by nature. You know, they have this anger inside of them. And the role of a man is, through the order that God gave us, which is God in Christ, Christ the man of a woman of a children. That role in life has been lost to this generation and these people today, because a lot of men have fallen away from God. Therefore, they try to pretend to live under this umbrella that God gave us, but they're not really men of God. They're not led by God. So therefore, they are led by the world, and they're led by society and their own understanding. So therefore, the family just breaks down because the man, he's not led by this higher power. You know, he don't have this divine love in him. He fakes it. You dig what I'm saying? It's like a false identity that he has. So therefore, that false identity goes to the wife, it goes to the children, to the women, to the children, all these things, because the man is out of order. He needs to return to God so that order can be restored, so he can have perfect love and peace through God, that what God gave him, so that he can in turn bring his wife out of her emotional state, and he can help her overcome the anger that she has and the overreaction she has in situations. In his perfect peace and his perfect logic that God gives him, his perfect love, he's able to take her out of that and let her see logically through him that what God gave him. So therefore, him and her together are able to teach the children these things so that they don't get out of whack and realize that nobody's in charge of the house, or either the mother's in charge and they don't see a strong father figure, so that they don't know the order. So it's pretty much just a trickle-down effect is what I was saying. You know, it is one of those things that a lot of people don't want to admit. A lot of people actually believe that their childhoods was great because they might have knew their father, or they might have had both parents in the home or whatever. Their mother might have been really, really nice person. But what they don't realize is that underneath all of the niceness, you know, how sweet they was or whatever they did and all these things, they don't realize that it's two realities in life, which is that of good and that of evil. So what happens is, you need to look deeper than that and say, okay, my mother was a nice woman, though, but she had anger. You dig? And she might have resented my father for leaving or whatever happened. But this is a single mother scenario. So she might have resented the man for leaving her, or she might have resented herself for running him away through her attitude and her anger that nobody showed her to control. So therefore, she's angry with herself. So she puts that onto the children. So then the children grow up with the same mind state. And if you have both parents in the home, but your father's weak to your mother, therefore she runs the house, then the kids do not see a strong man in the house. So therefore they still take on the mother's identity. And so they end up with that anger, and they end up with the emotions that their mother has, because their father is not a man, and he don't stand between the mother and the children to stop her from putting her identity on them, because she don't realize what she's doing. And it's not their fault, because nobody, their family was like that and so on and so forth. So nobody taught them to overcome those things. So this is, it's kind of a complicated thing, but at the same time, it's very simplistic. It is, and I think a lot of people really overthink these things, because they don't, I think when you say it too simple, you know, they kind of jumble their brain up. But because nowadays people are so used to hearing people talk with big words, professional psychologists, all these things, they use these big words and talk fast and all these things. But it's a very simplistic problem, but it's one of the hardest things to ever deal with, because you literally have to put a mirror in your face and look at the demon staring back at you, though, and you have to overcome that, and that is the hardest part of it.
Well, you know what? I like that perspective, and I definitely want to revisit that. I want to go back to what you said last weekend when you indicated about the male being in the home and sometimes going through the church, or them not having the right tutelage from the man, because they take on, you know, even though they're the man physically, emotionally, they are like a woman. And so they, you know, women end up dating another woman.
Yes, ma'am.
Mentally. That's
absolutely
what I would like for you to touch on.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, well, that's actually a fact, you know. That's what we see wrong with relationships nowadays. That's why relationships don't work out. That's why everybody and their mom is just going around having sex with these different people, though. They get in a relationship for a few months, maybe a few years, then it ends because no love is there. You dig what I'm saying? It's all just sex, and it's all just searching for that void that's in you from your father and mother situation that you don't know how to fill it. So you're just out there by society standards trying to get a man or get a woman, you dig? So you're out there just having sex with people, you're dating everybody and their mama, you dig? You just try to find that thing, that empty thing in your heart, but you don't realize where that came from. So therefore, these women get with these men. They're very masculine men on the outside, right? But inside, they're straight women. They're a woman inside. You dig? So what happens is men are able to, these beta males are able to manipulate weak women, because a man hasn't came along and told these women what to look out for. They don't know what a beta male is. You dig what I'm saying? So these beta males have figured this out because they're such a weak breed of man that they've been able to figure out how they could get women, you know, in spite of the real man being out there, because they're so far and few. The beta males have actually came through and realized the hustle, you know, that they figured out how to manipulate these weak women that didn't have a man to lead them and teach them these things. So therefore, they're able to manipulate women into falling for them. So they have sex, or they live together, or they be boyfriend, girlfriend. They might even get married, you dig, but it'll never last for a lifetime, because the real love's just not there, because one or the other of them has an agenda. You dig, one or the other of us looking for a certain thing, and they don't realize that void that they feel in their life is not going to be solved by just out here dating and having sex and living and having boyfriends and girlfriends with these people. Like, you got to go back to the start with your family and fix that so that void can be filled, so that you become you return to your natural identity that God gave us, so that therefore you're able to see the world in a truthful state instead of being confused by these lies and being blinded by the state that society puts on you, saying you have to get out here and do these things. You don't need to search for none of this. It happens naturally when you're reborn again to your natural state. And that's what that's why it makes me sad for women that they have to deal with these type of men, you know, because these men's parents failed them, so therefore they're out here thinking like women, look like men, so therefore they get with women, and then they mess women's minds up because women are looking to them like they're the representation of a man when they're really not, though. You dig? They look like one, but they're still a woman by nature, so women don't realize this, so it messes their heads up thinking that all men are like this. And matter of fact, 99% of them are like this. And so that's what makes it such a hard subject, though, because somebody needs to tell these women, you did, like, do not fall for this mess that these men are doing these days. They're very feminine guys. If you really look behind the layers, they're just like you. If you look behind the layers, they tell you their problems, but they get emotional. When you get emotional, they might overreact to situations the same way that you would. They don't overcome. They're not logical. They're very angry. They like to solve stuff with violence. All these things, right? You need to look for these signs because those are not real men you're dealing with. They're women by nature, but they might look very masculine on the outside. It's a very tricky game. But at the same time, though, if somebody would just tell women this stuff to look for these things, they would know better. But unfortunately, the home that they came from failed them. It didn't teach them these things, maybe because their parents' didn't teach them and so on and so forth. So that it's just a whole generation of a cycle that just keeps continuing, you understand? And it's one of those things. Somebody's got to tell these women and these men that the things that we're living through, it's an illusion. It's not real, and we need to take a step back and really look behind the layers and really see what's going on.
Okay, and you're saying what's going on is what again?
It starts in the family, though, because our parents' parents and their parents' parents might not have taught them none of this stuff. They might not have knew no better because their parents taught them and so on and so forth. It's a trickle-down effect from a corrupted family. You dig what I'm saying? Like, if you got one weak
when
man
say,
or one weak woman in the house.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's go back to the corrupted family. I'm referring to when you have the male that's, just say we're going to use the instance of single mothers who are raising these young men, because
right.
That's what started this topic right here.
Well,
okay, you're
scenario.
Saying that, right? That's the scenario I want to hone on right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, because that's the one that really sparked my attention more than anything.
Right.
And it sparked a lot of people.
It's not a shot at women.
Actually.
It's not a shot at women, though. What I mean by that is that
no.
Women,
I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to think
no,
that at
no,
all.
No, I'm saying like
but
like single mothers do the best that they can. But they're not men at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So this is what women need to realize. They're not men, but they do the best that they can. So therefore, they think that they're doing really good things, and they are doing good things as far as their potential goes. But they're not a man. And women need to realize this. You could take on the certain qualities of a man because you have to, because he might have left you or whatever. But it's still, your children see these things. And whether you believe it or not, though, your children peep these type of things subconsciously, though, and they see that, okay, this is my mother, but, you know, she takes on the roles, certain roles of other men that I see in the world or whatever. And it's a mess, right? So the mother does the best that she can in a single mother scenario. They do the best they can. It's not a shutdown to women, though. They do exactly the best that they can do, though, but they're not men. You dig what I'm saying?
Okay.
So they can't take on both roles. And I think
definitely. That's
a big burden that women have. They don't need to have that. Real men need to return to the – they need to return over here so that women don't have to go through that type of stuff. You dig? Because women do the best they can. But if they had a man in the house, a real man or guy, they wouldn't have to do those. It would take a big pressure off of them. This is my point, that women – They start thinking like men these days because they've been in a scenario for so long that when men left the home or whatever, and it's got them really thinking like men these days because they took on these certain qualities to survive with their children. And it's a mess, though. You know, real men need to come back into the family so that women can take that pressure off of themselves so that the man's able to help them overcome these things that they feel inside, and they can bring the entire family to peace. But men have to return to God first. And unfortunately, most men have fell away from God. Therefore, everything's out of whack. That makes sense?
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. So let me put this disclaimer out there since we're on the show. Everything that the goal is this evening is that we all have perspective and we all respect everyone's perspective. I just like to make sure I'm clear. I don't take a shot on anyone. I appreciate your perspective because what you're giving is your truth, and I appreciate that. So I don't take anything other than what you saying is your truth. So let me make sure I'm clear on that. But so when I ask questions, because I want to know, or if I come back with something, it's because I want to have a conversation about it. So I want to make sure that disclaimer is out there. The goal is, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, and why are we? And we're right now, we're bringing collective minds together
so we could discuss this and discuss different perspectives of it and then come to a mutual, you know, resolution. That's what I'm all about. So I do have someone who's interested in participating in the show, so I am going to chime in, someone. I'm not sure who it is, but I'm looking forward to find out who it is. But Jay, hold tight because I'm coming back to you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So as I mentioned before with Mr. Jay, I mean, I've just, he's brought out so many good points. And he brought out some other few points that is very, very interesting to me. And I kind of touched on it when we first started the show about, you know, coming from a divorced family, and sometimes, you know, men want to be men, and sometimes they can't be, you know, be that father figure based on, you know, whatever that complicated situation is. So it's very interesting to me, but I am going to bring someone else on board. Ladies, hold tight. I haven't forgotten about you all, but I am going to bring somebody else on board. I'm not sure who I'm speaking with you, but my name is Puchina Kirkendall, and thank you for tuning in for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You're on the air. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is John. I was listening to the conversation and the topic, and I think that, you know, when you addressing directly the question, looking for love in the wrong places, one example mm-hmm. would be a single mother with a child. Looking for love is right there. She should be looking for love in her child to say, look, I have to raise this child, and that is the priority. To date and be with another man who isn't the child's father actually takes away from the child. And women will sacrifice that child for those financial supports. And what I notice from watching with my sisters, cousins, people in society for decades now, you know, helping people take care of their kids, is that, mm-hmm. you know, the children are the one who really suffer from all of this. So when somebody has a child, especially, and this goes for men too, you know, men that say, oh, you know, she doesn't want me in the child's life, you know, so why would you go and start a family with someone else and leave this child there? You know, your whole life's purpose, once you have that child, is to make sure that you guide that child into adulthood to where they can maintain for themselves. And when you see a single mother or a single father pick up somebody else, it takes away from the child. They're not looking for love in the right places. The love is right there. Love your child. One thing I've noticed from people that have children is that they will, you know, on the majority, they will do anything except take care of their child, spend time with their child. They'll pay a babysitter instead of finding a way to spend time with the child. And it's a harsh truth. It's the reality. You know, Mr. Wrong leads to Mr. Wrong number two. That's just the fact. If you have a child, that child is what comes first. And from studying this scientifically, over and over, you can look at people, I would say 99% or over, that have children. They would prefer to talk with other adults, do anything except raise their child. And when I bring that up, they get angry, they get this, but the fact stands. I would tell them, look, I'm not saying this to you. This is what anybody could look at you and see. They could see that you're looking for love. Just like you said, the title's wonderful. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. The love is right there in your home. You created that. There's no going back. Even if you give the child up to an orphanage, you know, you're still, you know, the child's going to wonder. And, you know, I'd like to add, you don't need to have any religion. You don't need, all you need to do is have morality. And we know that there are people that aren't religious that are moral, and people that are religious that are not moral. You have some that are, some that aren't. So that shows us that the religion isn't going to give you morality. That's something that you have to come to a comprehension yourself by observing and saying, do I want to add to this, or do I really want to look for a solution?
Interesting perspective. Interesting perspective. I'm a single mother, and I have a about two other single mothers that's on the line, so I'm actually going to bring them on the line with us, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Sure, I'd love that.
Okay, no problem. So, and you, it's John, correct?
Yes, John.
Mm-hmm. Sir? Okay, thank you. So I'm actually going to bring Miss Denise on the line, and I'm actually going to bring Miss Roxanne on the line as well. We're actually all single mothers, so that perspective is kind of interesting. And I'm going to I'm gonna let Denise take the stand on that one first.
Okay.
Denise, you there?
I don't know where to start. In which perspective?
Well, with everything he just said.
Well, I guess with
just
being
a general
being a single mom, let's put it this way, just to kind of clear some of the things. I mean, I've been a single mom, of course, you know. And I guess when John said, when he said, and wrong number two came, and I stopped at wrong number two, okay? So, and then I went into this whole place to say, hey, I'm focusing on my children. So I did the focusing on my children. They are adults now. So I did the focus on them. So that is a good, you know, perspective of how you kind of view that part of it. And as far as anything else, I was raised by my father in the home. So, and I kind of laugh and chuckle and say, so did I take on the characteristic of my father? Because I'm very hard not when it comes down to certain things, but I am very prissy. So I love the perspective. I hear what is being said in regards to when it comes down to single mothers. Especially single mothers, because, you know, we do have single fathers that probably do need to hear some of this, what we're discussing. But I kind of, you know, I understand both part of that. And it kind of make me question. And I think my son turned out very, very well, because I had males in his life. So it wasn't just me and my voice that he heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Roxanne.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Are you finished, Denise?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. Roxanne, I would like to hear
you.
I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was over here a minute, Mr. John. listening to him talk, there was two situations that kind of came to my mind immediately. So when he was talking about the single mother, so this isn't about me per se, it's about a situation. So there's a young lady, she has, you know, certain number of children, like five, and she was dating this guy. She really wants to be in this relationship with him, but long story short, she's on public assistance, and I remember her telling me she helped him pay his car payment twice. I remember her telling me that she had to go to the food pantry, and I was like, first of all, you're a single mom. Like, why are you taking away from your children to pay somebody car payment? You know what I'm saying? If he's a man in your life and you're dating him, why? He's at your house eating because he was, you know, there on the weekends. I said, why did you have to go to the food pantry to be able to feed your kids? Like, this dude is coming in your house eating your food. But my thing I was trying to convey to her is, you know, you're, like he said, your focus and your attention should be on your kids. Like, you're taking away from your kids to help him. You know, he don't even have any kids. But for me, my thing with her was, you got to build up your self-esteem. You got to, you know your self-worth. You know, even if you don't love yourself, I kind of feel like it's hard for you to love your kids the way you're supposed to. That's just how I feel. And then this conversation just happened today, but I have a friend that he's divorced. He has a couple kids, but he only gets to see his kids like, I think, 4 days a week out of a month. And so he's talking to this young lady. She has kids, single mother, and she's always complaining to him, oh, my baby daddy's not there, yada, yada, yada. So when he gets his kids these 4 days out of the month, she was complaining that he doesn't spend time with her, he doesn't call her, and he was like, I see my kids 4 days out of the month, like, I want to give them my time. And there was another young lady that was like, well, she's right, you know, what's a 10-minute phone call? And I kept thinking to myself, no, honey, 4 days, like, people get in these relationships, and his thing was, because her kid's father is not there for them, that she's jealous that when his kids are with him, he gives them 100% of his attention. And I was just thinking, when you have that time with your kids, you need to, in his case, because they don't live with him. But you should give your children 100% of your undivided attention. You should give them quality time, not, oh, my kids are with me this weekend, and you know, talking to her on the phone because her kid's in the background and her baby daddy ain't there. Like, I just feel like if people really took the time to focus on being a better parent, being a better person, really, being a better human being, and then wanting to be a better parent, and then looking at your kids and not wanting them to repeat the things that you did, and you know, just, I don't know why when John was talking, those are the two situations that I thought of immediately, because I just kept, you know, thinking about the time thing and then looking at the young lady, like, why would you be taken out of your kids' mouths? And then with the guy, like, you don't need to be talking to her because she obviously has some issues. You mean to tell me you don't understand as a parent, single parent, or whether you're co-parenting, when you have time with your children, it should be uninterrupted and it really should be quality time. Like, my co-parenting thing, when my kids go with their dad, I don't call. I won't call because I feel like that's their time together. They need to have their uninterrupted time together. I don't need to be calling. They live with me. I always see them, you know, but I don't know. Just sometimes I think people, and it's not always about the kids. Maybe that's the issue. They're thinking about their self. Oh, you know, mama need a boyfriend. No, mama needs to get her life together. You don't need to be dating anyone. And that's kind of what I was telling the young lady. Like, you just need to be single and focus on your children right now because you got enough of them to worry about. But instead, you're running behind this dude. And it's like he said, you know, that's the love you need to be working on right there in the house. You know, not this dude over here who, I don't know, it's just some of the situations I see, you know, bother me. I'm not a perfect mother, never that, never will be. It's just I've grown and I see things like everything I try to do right now is for my kids and the betterment of them and not repeating cycles and not, you know, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, right? But, yeah, John.
Right, well, I definitely appreciate that. I definitely appreciate those two perspectives that you gave. John, I definitely, I mean, you hit on quite a few things, but I want to take it I'm that person. I always want to give the different perspective. When you indicated about, you know, your attention needs to be to your child, I totally agree with you on that. And your first priority needs to be there, because I could definitely see scenarios where women will pay their babysitter, you know, and prefer to be with the man versus the child. But on the other end of that, I know as a single mother, we have to have an outlet. Now, does it have to be necessarily a man? No, I don't believe that either. But we need to have that outlet where we are not mother. We just need to be woman. Or
absolutely.
Just need to have that adult time, because I can tell you about any anime movie there is. I can tell you about anything that's dealing children related, I can tell you. But having that outlet for myself, I need to have that time for me. And is that all the time? No. But is that necessary time I need to have for that me time? And that's where I'm going with that. I'm assuming, and I'm going to get you to just verify, clarify with that, you know, you're indicating that that maybe or may not be okay. I'm not very sure, but I'll get you to chime in on that in a second. But, yeah, I believe that there is a time where, as a single mother, you do need to get a babysitter, you know, someone reliable, because I know me, anyone who knows me know I'm very protective of my child. I don't let just anyone watch him. And now that he's at an age where he can tell me things, you know, I have to have that moment where I have to be able to diffuse and I need to have adult conversation. And it's interesting because I've had my son come to me and says, "Mommy, I want, you know, a daddy." I'm like, it took me off guard. And I was like, what?
And he was like, you know, I have a daddy, you know, even though he's not as active as he should be, but I want that male figure in my life with someone, you know, someone who's going to teach me how to be a man. And this is an 8-year-old telling me this. And I'm like, it took me back. And I was like, this is a grown man talking to me. That's how it felt, because he's like an old man in a young body. But I would just love to hear your, you know, your take on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's saying that. My parents got divorced when I was young as well, kind of similar to what you were saying. A boy, see, this is something a lot of women, they'll try to say they disagree with me, like, you know, I heard, you know, my perspective. I'd like to separate fact from perspective. So it's not my perspective. I could change and say, well, no, a woman, you know, can do what she wants to do. It doesn't change the fact that they have to concentrate on that child, that, you know, not concentrating on that child is, you know, it's more of a fact. Now, in saying that you need time, you know, to have your time, that indicates that, you know, looking at it in the scientific, logical way, that, and I'm not saying nothing, you know, wrong about you or, you know, anything. I'm saying this is just looking at it statistic-wise. Yeah, it's saying that the person that says that is not ready to have had that child, because men can't go out to the club no more when they have the child, or the wife even. Women can't go out with the girls no more. Once you get into the parent role instead of just the couple role, everything, the whole dynamic of life, your existence, it changes. The boy, what women disagree, they try to say it's me, but it's really a fact. A woman cannot bring a boy into manhood. She can raise an infant into a boy, but it takes a man to bring that boy into manhood. I speak to males that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and I call them males because they're still not men. They're immature, and they have never been brought into manhood by another man. And their egos are too large now to be brought in by a man like myself or someone else. You know, it's possible, but it would be like bringing him through sort of like, you know, the gauntlet, the trials, to say, look, this is what you got to do to be a man. And a lot of friends that I had, we parted ways because, you know, they would be in their 20s or 30s. And, you know, I would try to sever a certain part or section a certain part of their relationship with their parents to a point. Because I've seen a lot of guys where if the mother is dominant, they get raised very feminine-like. They might be masculine and, you know, all of this, but they're like a big, tough dog that, you know, turns into a little puppy when it gets near its so-called master. So when a man, when a boy is brought into man, he feels just what I felt but didn't express because there were other men. The only thing, if the father cannot or does not want to be in his life, is to have what I say would have helped me is uncles and, you know, blood relatives that would say, look, I'll help you bring this, you know, he can't tell you he's going to bring the boy into manhood, but he, that figure, just that presence is going to do it. You know, myself, I guess maybe I'm so direct and, you know, forward is because the military is what brought me in. If I didn't enter at 17 and be around men in an atmosphere of male dominance, I would have probably not, you know, changed into the man I am today. When I looked at other men when I got out in my 20s, and they had did nothing. And I'm not saying, I definitely don't recommend, you know, a person have to go into the military or anything like that. I'm saying you have to be brought into manhood by a man. And no matter what age you are, if you don't have that, it makes you a hollow person. You become a servant like a male. And these guys are never happy. You know, these are the guys that, you know, they will serve women more than provide. So if you provide for a woman, that's one thing. But if you provide and serve, she starts to lose respect for you. And this is another fact. Men who do more chores usually have a higher rate of divorce because she's thinking to herself, why? You know, it's like I have a guy here. He's, you know, he's like a simp. He does what I say. You know, there is no friction. Sometimes women want a man to be forward. You know, a man has to take direction. Hey, we're going to go here. We're going to do this. And the most responsible families I see do not go out to eat. They're very frugal with the money. Their whole thing about raising the child is to say is education. and actually bridging over the gap of the poverty that they came from. You know, I had to basically fight all my life, work since I was 12, because I look at it as, wow, I never had school clothes every year, and I would see other kids with that, and I'd have to go, you know, get hand-me-downs from my older cousin, and, you know, and I grew up that way. When I was 15, I bought my own pair of sneakers. You know, I would always get like the Skips or whatever. You know, when I was younger, of course, my mother bought sneakers, but it was one pair. You know, so growing up in a way where I had to work, sell candy at 12, wait till I was 14 to get into the supermarket. At 15, I went by my father. And the funny thing is, every time I went by my father, I always realized it had a better feel to an atmosphere of me being a man. It was easier to say, okay, the kid's 15. You know, he's like, you know, have you ever slept with a woman? You know, that would never come from my mother. And for men that I see that have mothers like that, they get introverted. Because I have a female friend, she has a son, he's now in his 20s, and she's very forward. She's very promiscuous, you know, I've never slept with her, but she's, you know, very forward. And the kid recoils kind of. So it has to be a man. It has to, there's a different energy about it. A boy can become a man in that atmosphere. He can never become a man. If I didn't leave, I left home young, and I have sisters that got married, and their husbands, instead of helping, they tried to more dominate, because when they see the family doesn't have a man there again, and it's a mother with daughters, a young son, so he's basically not a threat until he grows up. And then when he grows up, you know, whether or not he becomes a man or if he turns into a big male servant, that will determine, you know, what he turns into. So the one hand is, yes, he needs a man, most likely a relative that could bring him into manhood over the span of possibly a decade or more. And if a woman or anybody, a father, says that, oh, I need time for myself, then that indicates that he or the person had the child before they were ready to be a parent. It's like women say, I want to get married, but they're not ready to be a wife. I want to have a kid, not ready to be a mother. It's not saying nothing bad about the person. It's saying, no, you weren't ready. And we see that, and, you know, somebody might go to do something. Oh, yeah, you didn't plan before you did this. And you can't just magically become a mother. You have to now take time for yourself and remember looking for that love, not only in the child, it first comes from looking for love in yourself. Because once you love yourself and understand yourself, now you can try to understand your child. The father is actually, and this is a tough one, it's a fact, it's not my perspective. In many cases, once the child is old enough to walk and is away from the mother's, you know, grasp, they're, you know, basically more than a toddler, the father is more important at that point, because the evidence for this says you've never heard somebody say, I know a woman that has mommy problems. It's always that girl has daddy problems, or this boy was raised, you know, with his mother as a, you know, he's soft or whatever. The father is extremely important. Two of my sisters, when they were married, when my father, before they had a divorce, they married men that were men, that, you know, basically, you know, wasn't a deadbeat. Once they were divorced and he was gone, my other two sisters married trash. You know, and I saw it clearly. I was like, wow. Then I noticed their two trash would try to manipulate the family and relatives because, you know, they were older. So a man is very important, and we don't have the luxury, as hard as it sounds, it's just the fact of having that time for ourselves. Once we have that child, it's like, wow, I better network while this child is young to get him close to his relatives, to where if I do go somewhere without him, he's comfortable. Because I remember if your mother goes out and you're young, like 8, 9, 10, even 12, you're kind of afraid, you know, because you were never brought into manhood. You're still a boy. And whoever you're with, you know, if you're not very comfortable with them, I mean, we can just imagine in our minds it is uncomfortable, as opposed to him being with Auntie so-and-so or grandma. He's kind of, hey, I'm with grandma. They might actually like being with the grandmother more, because the grandparents always know how to raise kids better than the parents. And this is why, like Native tribes, when they had kids, it was the grandparent or the great-grandparent that the child spent more time around because they were the furthest, you know, from life and the child is brand new. And that's really where the connection needs to be because they're more mature, actually, because, again, it comes into that, a state of maturity, which not many of us, you know, exhibit at most times.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I beg to differ as far as, but I appreciate your perspective as far as not being ready. As mothers, most of us, especially, don't plan pregnancy. I mean, some, I'm not saying that all of us are like that, but I know most of us, we didn't plan pregnancy. And I just beg to differ that one. I just believe that everyone has to have that time to diffuse and unwind because as a single mother, we take on all the pressures of the world. We have to make sure the household is taken care of. We have to make sure if father is not taking care of his business financially, we have to take care of that business financially. So whether we handle it in the streets, at our jobs, personal, family, whatever the case may be, that adds up. And who will suffer from that? That will be a child. And that's not fair to our child, our children. So we have to have that moment where we diffuse. At some point, for me, I'll go in my closet and sometimes I have to diffuse there. But I do realize for me, and just for me, only, I can only speak for me, I have to have a moment where I get away and just diffuse, even if it's just for an hour to go to the Starbucks. You know, just for that moment to do that. Now, I get, you know, you're into your science and all that, but, you know, as a real life, being a mother and you're not being that mother who birthed, you know, you don't have the ability to birth or carry a child or any of that. You're just going based on what you see, but it's a difference between what you see and what you know and having that child and raising that child. And if there's a big difference. Big difference in that. I would just say that it doesn't mean that I don't, and I'm not saying you're punching jabs. Please don't ever take that. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving a different perspective. I'm just giving a different perspective, you know, because there's nothing I won't do for my child. And I know as a mother, because even when we're sick, it doesn't matter. We still can't be sick. You know, and I know with me, I've overcome, you know, I congestive heart failure, 2 heart attacks, over 5 strokes, and I came out of remission. And the only thing that got me through is because I knew I had to get better for my child. Even with my health conditions, I don't let that deter me. I have to get better for my child. I still work. I still do whatever. But there is a point where I have to diffuse and get myself together and be like, and breathe.
Yeah.
Because it becomes overwhelming. It becomes overwhelming. I have to do that. And to say that I'm not ready, no, sir. That means I have to take a mental break. I have to take a health break. I have to take a break. Because if I don't, my mental is going to be affected. In order for me to stay grounded, I have to go to that source. My source is God. That's mine. But other than that, I still have to have that outside time. I still have to remind myself I am still a woman, and it still doesn't matter. I'm still going to make sure my son getting taken care of, period. But if mommy is not taken care of, and I mean as far as interacting or having that moment where I could just, for 1 second, something's going to happen, and I mean, snap, somebody's going to snap, and that person's going to snap is me. And so to preserve my mental state, that's going to be necessary. Now, I can't speak for anyone else, but I just know as a woman and coming from most single mothers who have to deal with the cares of the world and have to deal with fathers who don't want to do their part, and that's fine because that's the choice we made. That's the life we have to deal with, the hands that's dealt. But you know, but when in this case, you know, I know the females as well who deal with health challenges on top of that, plus stay on top of work, being the best performer at work, being this, and making sure your kids is taken care of, that gets to a point where you have to have a moment where you have that break. So that is where
Your situation is definitely unique. Yeah, it's definitely unique. But like also, it also confirms in a way what you're saying to be has a partial truth to it, is that the time that the boy would be being brought into manhood, like even though he's eight and all of that, because it can start, you know, when he's five or four, you know, because he's not, you know, like just being carried anymore, is that it, you're right in a way in the fact that he would be with the father or a man figure, and that would give you time to recharge your batteries, especially when it's something with health as well. That is tremendously hard. So yeah, you're right. You would have to recharge, but and it also supports the fact that the boy, you know, you can't stay, even if it's a girl, you can't stay with the mother all the time. You got to have that man there. And it's not saying nothing on the person, but when we get in these relationships and we have the children, this is, you know, just, it's what we see. When the people aren't ready, these things happen. And it's not, I mean, nobody can say the person is wrong, because it can happen to anyone. I mean, it could have happened to me. When I look at some of the women I was in relationships with, and I look back and I say, wow, thank goodness I didn't have a child with this person. And then like the next person or the person after, they'll have a child. And I see these people now and I say, man, it is really hard. It's almost impossible. And that's why the family, you know, unit or relatives is very important, because if the man isn't there, you know, hopefully if they're mature or understanding, they would say, look, sis, or look, cuz, you know, let me start to create a bond with the kid. So in case if you ever need to, you know, that hour or something, which is actually nothing. That's like so easy, because I remember watching Children from My Sisters for hours, to where I learned how hard it was to watch children when I was 14 and 15. And, you know, I took her to the hospital when I was 17 for her to have her second child, you know, so I that taught me so much. It taught me like, look, all your time is being used up. It's fun. It's beautiful to have the kid, but I kind of got that feeling of how men who are with single mothers, because I was also with single mothers as well. I had it at a young age, because as much as I tried to nurture and help the child and get close to the child, my sister could at any time rip the child away, whether she was in a bad mood or whatever. And I see this happen to men that are with women with children. And that's why I recommend that, you know, if they focus on the children, because that's what really matters, is making sure the kid grows up to be mature, most likely more mature than the parent. If you notice that at least 50% of the kids that grow up in drug-ridden homes, they sometimes grow up more mature than the parent. They'll realize my parent is sick, and also being punished by the state as if they were a criminal for being sick, because drug addiction is a sickness, and I don't get what I'm supposed to get as a kid. And some of those kids grow up to be amazing individuals. The other 50% grow up to be, you know, hardcore drug addicts and sellers like their parents. But you can't deny the fact that you had these kids that actually became more mature than their parent. You know, so looking at those things, you know, that's reality. You know, it's like anybody could look at it. I think the only thing that can be said that a person, you know, if they say, oh, it's my opinion, that would be denial. You know, because we can all look at it and say, no, yeah, the child would benefit better for that. Orphanages overseas, in many countries that I've been to, orphanages are a big thing, when they say, look, the girl has to give it to the orphanage. She's not equipped to raise this child. The child is going to suffer from that. And I would have never thought this when I was younger. I would say, no. But I look at it now and I say, yeah, they're right. The child would have both figures of both genders, and then also other children. And then, you know, you have a lot of people that grew up that way that, again, became very successful and compassionate and people of realization. So, I would say that's where the answer lies, you know, just looking at it and being open to change, because, you know, that'll do it.
Do you have children?
No, I don't. I don't. I decided not to. I mean, I could have, but you know, just.
I was just, and don't, I'm not Jeb, and it's just like, I can tell. Okay. But, John, I want to put you on hold because I want to get a perspective of Jay, who's on the line as well. I think you've heard him earlier, but I would like to hear his perspective from everything that we've heard, on everything we've talked about. Just hold the line for me. Hold the line. Thank you so much. I'm loving this. So as we were saying, John gave a very, very interesting perspective, very, 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 very interesting perspective. And Jay, I have you back on the line. I would love to hear your take on what John said. Jay, are you still there?
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I said, bear with me. You know, that was a long conversation. I'm a little slow, so I'm going to try to hit all the points.
Hit the major points because we're already wrapping up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the first one of the things that I heard is that what you said is that, you know, a single mother eventually, you know, they have the snapping point or whatever, you know, after a while or whatever have you, so they need this thing, you know, to get away or whatever. And what I would tell you is that that is why it's important for women not to have children out of wedlock. You get what I'm saying? Or if you are married and you have children, but the marriage don't work out, you know what I'm saying? That's what a man, his father, is supposed to be there to come between the woman and the child when she has that breakthrough. He's able to protect them from the anger that the mother has from, you know, the stress of life or whatever, that break point. He's there to not let her impede that on the children because she can't help it. You know what I'm saying? So when you don't have that, though, you know, you get to that snapping point, you dig it, therefore, you know, you just snap, right? So therefore, your children see this. And then they start at that point, you know, they resent you now, and, you know, they take on your identity because you become like what you resent. It takes a hold of your life, so therefore they see what you did, and therefore they get that identity from you. So that's why a father is important under marriage, to be able to come between the mother and child at that point so that he's able to protect them from that and correct the mother and bring her into a state of peace to get her out of that hell that she's in emotionally and angrily, so that he can bring her into the peace that God gave him through the umbrella of marriage, so that the kids are able to see the father correct the mother and bring her into this state of peace that he has, so that him and her is able to take that to the children. And they see this correction, and they see this thing happen. And what happens is with that is that the children end up seeing the father, you know, save the mother in a sense, and they also see the mother see her wrong, and they see her corrected, you know, from the father's leadership. So therefore, the children see this order. And therefore, they get a better understanding about, what's really real. Like, okay, my father was there to protect us from my mother's anger when she hit that snapping point, and my mother was able to see her wrong in it because my father was there to correct her for doing it. So therefore, she's seen her wrong, and she overcame that. So therefore, through the father, it trickles down to the children. So therefore, they're able to see that correction, and the mother, it overcoming her wrongdoing, and they respect the parents more for that. And another thing that I heard them touch on, everybody keeps saying, you know, they keep on talking about the physical, the materialistic success. And, you know, I mean, you can have plenty of beta male children and beta female children out here that's living life. I mean, they're successful. They got yachts, Fortune 500 company, all these things. But, dude, if you peel back the layers, though, this is a spiritual battle. It got nothing to do with how much physical, materialistic success you have. Anybody can raise a successful child. But inside, though, they're going to be emotional, they're going to have anger, and they're going to overreact to situations instead of being logical, calm, and overcoming situations. And this is what people don't see. They think they equate success with a parent that did okay. They did right by the child, but that's not the case, though. Because you could raise a successful child, they might have all the things in the world. They worked hard and all these things. But inside, though, that's what it really counts, is that in their spirit, inside of them, they're emotional. It's talking about for the men at least, and it goes to the little girls too, but it's mostly for the boys that grow up like this. Is that they end up, you know, they still have their mother's identity no matter how much success that they have. You know, we know a lot of males that are very successful in the world that, you know, when you hear them speak or you see how they live in life, you know, it's a very feminine thing that they're doing. They're a very feminine way of thinking, a very feminine way that they speak, you know what I'm saying, a very feminine way that they carry themselves, even though they're very successful and they look like men, you dig what I'm saying? So I don't like people equating successful children with good parents. That is not the case, because they don't look underneath all these layers, and they don't understand it inside of them, though, behind all of those masks you can put on it by success and all these things. Underneath all that, though, they still have the mother's identity. Therefore, they will never have perfect peace in their life because they didn't have a father to help correct none of this because the father fell away from God. The father wasn't there. He abandoned them, so therefore the mother had resentment for the father, or either the father was just a weak man and left the woman alone with the children. You did, so the children didn't see no positive thing in their life at all. And when the mother hit that snapping point because she was left alone with the children, and, you know, she's a human being, so she reached that snapping point, and there wasn't a man and a father there to get between the children and her for that and help her overcome it and correct her for doing it. And, you know, the children, so they don't see none of this. So they might grow up and be the most successful people in the damn world, but they don't, under all those layers, though, they still have the identity of their mother. Not all, but most. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens, and that's what we're seeing nowadays, is that people keep equating success with good parents, and that's not the case. Because most of the time, matter of fact, women and weak men don't understand what they do to the children. They don't even realize that it's happening until somebody, you know, shows them. They don't. It's natural. They think it's normal. They think, you know, well, I'm human, all these things. They don't even know what's happening until somebody, you know, brings the light and puts the mirror up. And that's the scary part about it. That's what scares people. And that's where the anger comes from in people when you have these conversations. Because nobody wants a mirror in their face to have that demon looking back at nobody, you know. But we all got to go through it, though, and able to overcome our we're in a false identity state right now, though. 99.9% of the men and women in the world, we're in a false identity state. We don't have our natural state of being that God gave us. So what happens is when somebody comes along and holds the mirror up to us, and we see that demon looking back at us, and that's the truth. You dig what I'm saying? It's an ugly monster. So therefore, we try to reject it. You dig? We get angry about it, though. We get emotional about it. We reject it, rebuke it, all these things, and we go ham on it and all these things. But that's what it is. Like, you dig, it's good or evil, right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, 99.9% of the men and women in the world today, though, they're living wrong. They're not living right, and they're in a state of evil. They're in a fallen state. So therefore, when somebody holds that mirror up, they're not ready to handle that. You know what I'm saying? Because all you could do is, if you know what's real and your eyes have been open, the only thing you could do, though, is tell people about it. But if they don't take heed to that, you got to just leave it alone. You dig what I'm saying? You don't hate them. You don't get angry with them. All you could do, though, is give them the advice. You say what you see or whatever. You say what's real. And it's up to them to accept it, though. But if they're not ready to accept it, all you got to just let them suffer and die. You dig what I'm saying? You can't save them. So all we supposed to do is just tell people and bring them awareness to it. But it's up for them to accept it. Other than that, we just got to let them suffer and die, you know, and that's what it is.
Wow. That's deep. You and John, I mean, y'all really rock some really good, are bringing some really, really good perspective on it. And I wanted to add something else before, because I have about two more minutes before I wrap it up with everything. I had someone, a family member, text me. They listened to the show last week, and John, I'm going to chime me out for a second. Jay, I'm going to chime me out for a second. But I never did bring in, I had some other callers come in, and I just really appreciate you all listening. And for those who still have opinions about it and want to share, you may do so by emailing me at coafwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that C is in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. If you're on Facebook, I do have a Facebook page under Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You can go to my Facebook page, once again, at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I would love to hear your input. I do have a survey poll out there right now. I would love to definitely hear your feedback on it, because this is such a deep subject, and it can go in so many, many directions just from the perspective of Jay last week. That's why what this conversation is stemming about today. And now John giving his perspective on the sense, and it's just very, very interesting. And they are very deep. I mean, they're very, very deep, and they are, they have provoked quite a few things for me to think about. And it's interesting because now it's making me think about what I want to talk about next, because this is such a broad subject. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And John, please don't leave the line, because I'll be back in touch with you. I'm getting ready. I want to wrap up, but I want everyone to give me like a 30-second blurb before I wrap up the show. So I am going to start with Mr. John here because you gave a very good perspective. Are you still there, John?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you could give me a 30-minute blurb before I end the show, and I'll definitely be, if it's okay, if I can be back in touch with you because you hit on some perspective. I just want to talk or email in the end or text in the end. So let me give you 30 seconds, and then we'll move forward.
Sure, sure. You can email me, or, you know, you have the number.
I have
the show.
Can I text you?
Yeah, yeah, you can text me, you know, so,
okay,
yeah, we can communicate that way.
All right.
And I appreciate you having the show. It was a great topic and, yeah, great perspectives. And, you know, Jay had a great point, you know, because, you know, kind of like what I was saying, you know, you got to focus on love for the kid, but looking for love within yourself, that's really where it does begin. And then, you know, everything comes from that. So, yeah, it was great. You know, you got great perspectives, been through a lot. So, you know, you have a unique situation, but you're very open-minded. I mean, and to say what the boy is saying, that's like, it's like, you know, there's no coincidences, you know. So me being on the show, saying what I said, you saying what the, you know, the boy says he wants a father, this and that. It's kind of like something is, you know, just, you know, bring it kind of like, the it comes when everybody's ready. But thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I just sent you a text with my email address. I definitely want to communicate with you because you hit on something I want to, which will be one of my future topics. So thank you so much. I'll be stay on board because I'm getting ready to wrap up because I have about 3 more minutes. So Thank you so much for your perspective. All right,
thanks.
All right, cool. So I have Miss Roxy. You know what? I know you're long-winded just like myself, but you only got 30 seconds. Hit it, honey.
I just see future shows from the last couple of – just from the men speaking, I can already give you some spin-off shows, but that's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, I thank you for, you know, I love you and I appreciate you. So I'll definitely be in touch. Chances are I'll be talking to you sometime tomorrow. sometime tomorrow, but always a pleasure and a privilege. And just your 30 second blurb, or did you already give it to me and I'm going to move forward?
Who, me?
Okay, I guess. Yes, you. I was saying my 30-second blur because I got 2 minutes. Well,
that was my
1:59. All right, cool. All right, talk to you later, bro. Okay, Miss Denise, thank you for hanging in there, honey. You got 30 seconds, boo.
You have me past my bedtime anyway.
I know. Thank you for making that publicly known.
It was It was an awesome show. That's all I'm gonna say in this in my blur to you. It was an awesome show.
All right, then you know I'll be talking to you in the morning. You know how we do. All right, thank you. I love you, Mr. J. You're the reason why this show is here tonight. I actually extended the show for an hour and 30 minutes tonight, but 30-second blur. I will be back, definitely back in touch with you for some of our future shows, some of the topics that I have in mind. I think you'd be a perfect candidate for it. So I hope that you'd be willing to chime in and in the future for some of these shows in the future. But you got 30 seconds. What you want to say?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, I don't see why not. You know what I'm saying? Just hit me up and let me know. But, you know, what else I would say is just men out there listening, you need to return to God and restore the order that he gave us and able to have this world change around overnight in a 360. You dig what I'm saying? That's all. Very simple.
Well, thank you very much, Jay, and I'll definitely be in touch.
Ma'am.
So I just want to thank everyone who came on the show. I appreciate it. Like I said, you can check us out on check me out on the Facebook page of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and on my email. Email is coafwoman@gmail.com. You be blessed and have a good week.